and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. As you know, Revenue Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisor to IT services companies. Today, I'm thrilled to have Ryan Barnett, my partner here at Revenue Rocket, as well as Chelsea Nord, who is sort of a new addition here at Revenue Rocket. She runs our strategy practice, and she's an industrial psychologist with tons of experience and happens to be a world expert in culture. So we're going to talk a little bit about how culture interacts at the intersection of strategy and M&A. So welcome, Chelsea and Ryan.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thanks, Mike, for hosting this yet again. When we look at M&A, we have a trio of things that are most important. Strategy, in which it's critical to make sure that if you buy a company or you're selling yours, that the strategy is aligned. The second is really financial, that no deal gets done unless it's financially right. And then the third, and sometimes overlooked, but oftentimes the most important, is the culture. So when we look at deals, we look strategically and culturally first, and then if those two work out, then we can start to dig into the financials. Today, wanted to talk with you, Chelsea, about why culture matters within M&A and why paying close attention to culture is critical if you're working through strategy changes and through M&A deals. So that's kind of the topic for today. If you don't know what culture is in IT services companies, I encourage you to listen to a previous podcast around the definition of culture, in which we walk through why it's important to IT services companies. But today, we're going to switch that focus over to why that is critically important and why it's overlooked oftentimes in M&A. So with that, Chels, I'll let you start to dig in and kind of look at the overview and why is culture so critical in strategic conversations?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. So I would say at the highest level, culture and paying close, careful attention to culture is very critical in any type of strategic transformation, be it organic or inorganic through M&A. And the reason being is just some cases, your organizational culture, which just to summarize, values, beliefs, and norms that kind of guide how people show up in the work, may not serve or support a strategic shift that you need to make within the company. So you might intentionally need to make some changes to make sure that culture does support the strategy moving forward. And I'll just throw in a Peter Drucker quote here, but he said that culture eats strategy for lunch, and I would add probably breakfast, dinner, and all the snacks in between. And what that means is that, and I think the sentiment there is that you can have the best strategy in the world, but if you don't have alignment with how your people kind of behave and show up to work, then the strategy won't be successful. You need the people to make the strategy come to life so that it's not just kind of words on paper or a decision that one person made in a room. That talent and having the right talent behaviors to execute your strategy is really the linchpin and the key to moving or bridging from strategy into execution of that. So I would start there and say that, like I said, it's the truth for organic or inorganic growth. I would agree with you if you think about flipping it to why culture is important for M&A. I would say if we think about this from a financial, strategic, and then cultural fit standpoint, I would say that in my experience, I've seen financial and strategic fit kind of steal the spotlight, right? They're the most focused on enablers of successful M&A. I like to think of culture as the sleeper variable for transformational change and for M&A. So it's kind of, in many cases, it's kind of like an afterthought that becomes kind of unexpectedly critical during negotiations or post-merger integration. So, it's my belief that you really do a disservice in kind of pushing that to the side. And a lot of people may feel kind of uncomfortable or not know how to best handle it. But it should be thought of and intentionally handle it as early as possible in the M&A process?
When we look at starting deals, it's much easier to look at a strategic fit. And for example, when you're looking at an ideal prospect profile, you're going to define things like what market they're in, what kind of services they sell. And you're going to look at geography. You're going to look at size. You're going to look at maybe a management team that's looking to go or looking to stay. I think some of the challenge in culture with M&A is that it's someone may say on their website, hey, we have a great culture. And they may try to define it. But it is, I would say, more platitudes than it is real alignment. And it sounds like if you want to define your strategy, you have to be considerate of organizational culture outside of the platitudes and plaques, instead more defined elements of culture. Am I right in that thinking?
Yeah, I would agree completely. If you can try to put some definition or some general themes around how you describe it in a consistent way, can really help with both understanding your own culture as well as, you know, thinking about what a potential good fit would be for either buy side or sell side M&A.
So if you're embarking upon something as big as M&A, or if you're even doing something where maybe it's your strategic transformation, how does culture play a role? And I'd just like to understand that, what's the consideration of that organizational culture?
Yeah. In the space of M&A, I kind of think about it like matchmaking. So in due diligence, if you think about why it would matter, why culture would matter for a buy side and why it would matter for a seller. And I think it's important for both in this transaction. And let me kind of put two different perspectives in place for you. On the buy side, I think culture is to have a good handle on defining culture and considering it is important because of post-merger integration, right? Understanding how people show up to work and where there might be marked significant differences between their company and a company that they might acquire. You might want to preserve some aspects of your culture that are core to your values and go-to-market brand and could be concerning to a buyer if there's large gaps there and kind of attitude and behaviors that might be significantly different. There's some concern around, scaling and growth that you could probably lose some of these founding beliefs that might be seen as unique differentiators that have contributed to their success as a company so far. So that's why a buyer probably would have some concern or why they would think culture is important. And then on the sell side, if you're selling, I think it's important for sellers to consider to culture because they want to know before selling that their people are going to be taken care of, that they're going to have a good fit for their employees and teams. There's definitely some pride there in a business that they've built. I think that there is some thought of like avoiding culture shock or at least being able to plan for merging teams and to prepare customers and other stakeholders for that, just to kind of manage and understand expectations.
It is. There is some brokering there, and there's trying to figure some of those things out is critical. I think it's sometimes hard to take a look when you're on the M&A side. It's hard to assess what that might be. So when should you start considering culture in an M&A process?
As early as possible, like in due diligence, preferably. I think it starts with the, assuming this is buy side, that the company has a good sense or description or assessment of what their culture is today. So you can't really do any of this if you don't understand or you can't articulate and clearly define what your culture is. That's why I think these, set of cultural components or elements, if you will, I gave the example of the customer experience on the last podcast, is a good way to kind of have a common vocabulary or framework, I guess, to work around, to understand and define your own culture and what might be a good fit.
Yes. As soon as you can. I'd say from a Mike, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. What kind of things as an advisor are you doing to start to define that culture? You know, it's a little bit easier with our clients when you can ask them some pretty direct questions to help define. But when you, let's say you have a target on the line, Mike, what are you starting to do as early as your first introduction or screening call to help understand some cultural definitions?
Well, I certainly think, you know, some of the leading indicators have to do with sort of customer care and employee care philosophies. You can read a lot into culture, and you can get to some indicators as to how they think about their team, how they interface with their team, how they think about their clients, how they talk about each of those things. There's probably 50 different sort of, you know, indicators or what I'll call sort of attribute kind of conversations that go into trying to get to the bottom of customer care and employee care philosophies that say a lot about culture. And, you know, we know that if the culture material difference in thinking about culture, that is a huge risk for any M&A transaction. And so, you know, I think we do a reasonably good job here at Revenue Rocket of assessing culture, cultural fit, and, you know, being able to, you know, kind of see how folks can work together in a meaningful way, or advising our clients on if there is a material cultural mismatch in that potential combination. We certainly upped our game there with Chelsea and team as she's joined and bringing her expertise around culture to the conversation, you know, and some of the tools that she uses to help us assess these in a more formal way. But, you know, at the highest level, I think it's about, you know, those two things, customer care philosophy and employee care philosophies. And are those in alignment with, you know, the firm across the table that you're evaluating, you know, combining with?
It's helpful to be intentional in defining the culture. It's helpful when you're evaluating a transaction to ensure that culture is aligned. Mike, have you seen challenges when someone starts to go through a deal and you get so wrapped up in the negotiations and the definitive agreement and the combining of the companies? Is it easy to lose sight of culture through some of the depths of M&A?
Oh, absolutely. You know, these deals are complex. You know, we've talked about before in other podcasts and in general that, you know, they're the most unnatural act in business, and they take a lot of energy and cycles to get through due diligence and to negotiate a definitive agreement. And in many ways, that becomes the goal of both buyers and sellers as they're working through to try to get to close. And, you know, oftentimes they overlook culture or look the other way when there's red flags or warning signals about a potential cultural mismatch. For firms that do that or get all the way to close and then say, we'll deal with the cultural aspects of this deal, it's too late. You know, we've often said that there's only two reasons why deals come undone after their, you know, M&A deals come apart later. And it has to do with cultural mismatch, probably the first and foremost primary concern. And the second is poorly executed post-merger integration. And we can certainly all point to a lot of transactions, you know, that have been in public markets where that's been the case. And we see it, you know, plain as day in retrospect. And I think even for those of you listening to the podcast that may have experienced some of that in your own professional life, it's easy to see kind of once the broken glass is on the ground and, you know, the challenges have presented themselves, much harder to see when you're in the swirl of getting through due diligence to close.
I think an element here that can help anyone going through this is to realize that culture is a set of norms and beliefs that have some definable nature to it. In our last podcast, we talked about the transactional versus customer intimacy type nature. in future podcasts, we'll be exploring a few more of these items to help companies really look at, again, taking culture from this enigma into something that is definable and coachable. But even if you define it, I still think it, you just have to make sure that it bleeding throughout the company. And if you have your culture to define, you have to understand that the acquired company is going to have different. And Charles said, kind of be interested on what do companies need to do when you look at these two assimilating companies and two, you know, is it an assimilated culture or is it something that can be a bit of piece here and a piece there?
Yeah, I would say that it's not always that the acquired company will need to assimilate the culture, the acquisition company's culture, right? I think best case scenario, the acquirer knows where the biggest gaps are, and kind of prioritizes some of those cultural components, with a change plan. But I think, you know, it's people are more bought in and engaged, if they're involved in a process. And I think best case scenario is that you can collectively define a go forward future state desired culture together, and bring the acquired company in on that conversation, versus just forcing assimilation, because the value there is that we know that, you know, innovation comes from looking at things differently. So I think both parties should be kind of open to culture change or looking at things differently. And, you know, as much as you can involve both sides of the house in defining future state, the better off everyone will be.
That's a great point. Mike, any thoughts here? Any closing thoughts as we kind of look at why culture matters in M&A?
Well, I would just encourage everyone to take this diligence item seriously and not to look the other way as you're considering potential combination with another firm, whether you're selling or buying. You know, culture, vetting culture and cultural alignment in many ways will become evident as you work closely together in an effort to get through a due diligence process. I would encourage you to certainly meet with the parties, everybody get across the table, and not only just, you know, size up cultural feel and fit and finish, but to do a, you know, formal review of culture and to really think about that, you know, customer care and employee care philosophies and how those might align or might be different post-transaction.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Chelsea, anything you want to, any last thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered the main things, but I'm excited to kind of talk about and introduce some of the other components or elements of culture beyond customer approach and future conversation. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's great to be here. And again, such an asset to Revenue Rocket and this and to the Shoot the Moon podcast. And I'm really looking forward to future episodes. With that, Mike, I'll turn it back over to you.
Sounds great, Ryan. So with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. Again, feel free to tune in next week when we'll unpack and explore further topics of relevance as it relates to growth strategy and M&A. For your IT services company. Thanks and make it a great week.